The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take bath in the Ganges or Yamuna or visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge for fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. What to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place.
Umagyanati mirandas jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unnilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
Hare Krishna. Since we have some time here and about an hour and a half of presentations left of the seminar, I just thought we can utilize at least some time in discussing hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. Since, and if weather permits, we may even go around this actually very holy place. Time permits and weather permits. It's supposed to be a very holy place where Parashar Muni, who at least the first thing that comes to our mind when say Parashar Muni is Aishwarya Sasamagrasya, you know, described about Bhagavatam. There is actually another thing about Parashar Muni. There is a story in Narada Bhakti, Narada Pancha, no. Narada Bhakti Sutra, no. Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya. There is a beautiful story about Parashar Muni. I just thought I would share with you. One time, devotees gathered together on the banks of the Ganga and they are discussing about three questions. And the first question is, we will discuss just the main thing which is connected with Parashar. First question is, whose life is really purposeful? Who has lived a purposeful life? And Vasishtha Muni is sitting and surrounded by all very powerful sages. And on the lap of Vasishtha, his son, Parashar, a 7-year-old boy, is sitting on his lap. And all are discussing who has lived a purposeful life, really purposeful life. And then they discuss about glory of Tulsi and glory of peepal tree. Which is the word, something like that, but the answer to that is the glory of Tulsi and peepal. But nobody is able to come to a proper conclusion about who has lived a real purposeful life. So at that time, Markandeya Rishi happens to come walking in that direction. Markandeya Rishi, as you all know, a very famous personality. He has lived for 7 kalpas. One kalpa is Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyat Brahmano Viduhu. One day of Brahma, very, very long time. 43 lakh 20,000 into 1,000 years. It's just one kalpa. He has lived for 7 kalpas. People say that he is the best person to answer. Let him come, and as soon as he comes, we'll put this question in front of him. Markandeya Rishi is a very great sage. Even before coming, he understands what is in their mind. So he straight away comes and offers dandavat pranams to Parashar, who is sitting on the lap of Vasishtha, 7-year-old boy. Straight away he offers his dandavat pranams. So people are shocked. What's happening? Everyone stands up. Parashar is shocked. You know, he goes behind and takes, hopefully, Markandeya's dust from his feet, as sometimes devotees do when someone offers obeisances. So everyone asks, what have you done? So at that time, Markandeya Rishi says that I am offering obeisances to Parashar, the 7-year-old boy. So why? You are such a senior person. And he says, seniority, or rather he says, life is judged by how many moments you have spent in Krishna bhajan. So even though I have lived for 7 kalpas, the amount of Krishna bhajan, Hari smaran, Hari bhajan, the amount I have spent, if I calculate, I may be only 4-year-old. But Parashar, 24 hours a day, 365, is always remembering the Lord, engaged in his service. So even though he is 7-year-old, he is actually 7-year-old. But I may be 7 kalpas old, I am only 4-year-old. And therefore, I am offering obeisances. In this way, even without their putting question, he tells all the sages the answer to the first question. That is, who has lived a purposeful life? Anyone who has actually utilized every moment, as it says in the Bhagavatam, Ayu harati vai pumsam udyan astanchayan nasau tasyarte yat kshanonita uttama shloka lilaya. Ayu harati vai pumsam. With every rising and setting of the sun, Ayu harati, we are one day closer to death. Talking about womb to tomb. Ayu udyan astanchayan nasau tasyarte yat kshanonita. Tasyarte, it's worth every moment. Uttama shloka lilaya. For a person who is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, remembering the Lord, for him he is one day closer to eternal life. So therefore, that is a real purposeful life. Anyway, so I just remembered this second connection of Parashar Muni talking about this place. So this is such a holy place, such a wonderful place, that Parashar Muni lived here many years. So here, this beautiful, very famous verse, quoted many times in so many other scriptures also, is the quotation, is a famous shloka emanating from the mouth of Yudhishthir Maharaj, heart of Yudhishthir Maharaj, when Vidura comes back after 30 years of pilgrimage. Vidura leaves Hastinapur just before the battle of Kurukshetra begins, when he is terribly insulted by Duryodhan. And even Dhritarashtra doesn't speak a word, which means acknowledging what Duryodhan is saying. If you don't speak anything, it's like accepting. And when he sees that nothing, he sees it as Krishna's arrangement, and he just walks off, utilizing that wonderful opportunity for traveling. Practically renounces for all practical purposes, never to come back again. And he travels for 30 years. In the way, he hears about Krishna's passing away from the material world back to the spiritual world. And while traveling, he meets Uddhava, whom Krishna has instructed just before leaving. And he asks Uddhava, please tell me about Krishna, what exactly happened. Uddhava is too overwhelmed by the remembrance of the Lord. And Uddhava says, I can't speak. And it's also not proper etiquette, because when Krishna was speaking to me, Maitreya Muni was also with me, who is such a senior person, ask him to speak. He will speak to you. But the real reason is, Uddhava is overwhelmed when he remembers Krishna. He can't speak at all. So Vidura asks Maitreya all the questions regarding self-realization. And when he is completely convinced about self-realization, about the ultimate goal, Tadaika Bhakti Govinde, we were discussing the other day in Bhagavatam, he concludes that pure unalloyed devotion to Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda is the ultimate purpose in life. That's all. When he comes to that conclusion, and there is nothing else to be asked, then he returns back for some time to Hastinapur. Some time. And he does it only for one purpose, that's all. His dearmost respectable elder brother, who is now absolutely bewildered, and he is reaching the final stage of his life, but he is not understanding the gravity of the situation, and shamelessly attached to the comforts, comfortable life, taking shelter of that comfort, thinking that I will be happy. And he is thinking himself, wanting to be the king and controller. So to remove that illusion, he comes. Yudhishthir Maharaj, for all the people in the palace, it is like their life has come back. A dead person comes alive. Because practically they thought Vidura is gone. Must have left his body someplace. They never expect that Vidura will ever come. But he had been their real well-wisher. True well-wisher and savior, actually. He has saved them and protected them in all situations. When he comes back, Yudhishthir Maharaj is so happy. And he speaks this verse, addressing Vidura. Bhavadvida Bhagavata. Bhavadvida means people like you, Bhagavata, the great Bhagavatas. Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho. You are actually holy place, walking holy place, mobile holy places. So you have mobile hospital, right? Moving hospital. They have all facilities and it moves. A hospital on wheels. Sometimes they have a small restaurant on wheels, or sometimes they have a shop on wheels. They keep moving and stop wherever they want, just to facilitate others, where there is no hospital, where there is no maybe hotel or whatever. Similarly, Bhavadvida Tirtha Bhuta, he says, you are moving holy place. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. That is, first thing is they are moving holy places. And you make the places wherever you go holy. And the second thing they say is, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Even the holy places you purify. So, a very beautiful purport Srila Prabhupada is giving. The personality of God is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. And a beautiful example he gives. In this room, electricity is everywhere. But we can't see the electricity. But only when a proper connected, it's a, what is that? Holder, etc. is put, and a bulb is put, the bulb manifests that electricity which we can actually utilize and see. Similarly, when we had been to Madan Mohan, Karoli, Madan Mohan temple, there was a beautiful verse that we noticed. Gaur Gopal, myself and others sitting, we just noticed this. So many verses are written, and one verse about deities. He says, similarly, something like this. God is everywhere, but in a deity it's much more manifest. You can reciprocate, you can see, you can actually have a relationship. Otherwise, God is everywhere. And the second example they gave, just like in the cow's body, milk is everywhere. But right in the udder, you can actually extract it, access it. So, though milk is there everywhere in the body, udder is a place where you can actually access and taste it. Similarly, God is everywhere but in the deity. So similarly here, God is everywhere, but it is the pure devotees of the Lord who manifest God in a very tangible way. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto, Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport. Yesterday we were discussing about Guru's association, and then I was just remembering that particular verse from the sixth chapter, Narada's conversation with Vyasadeva. There is a very beautiful purport to that, and it says, the Lord is absolute. The Lord is absolute, and being absolute is non-different from His deities, non-different from His name, non-different from His service. And Narada was told, first time he followed the Bhaktivedantas, he had a glimpse of the Lord. Just one speck of glimpse. And after that, the Lord never appeared. So again he tried to sit and practice. Mechanically he did the same thing that he did before, much more intensely. But this time, the Lord did not manifest. The Lord just spoke. Whatever his name was at that time, you will not see me anymore in this life. And he says, why you can't see me? Avipakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. He says, for two reasons you can't see me. He says, avipakva kashayanam. Avipakva means immature, and kashayana means contamination. Durdarshaha, you can't see me. Once I gave a sample, you know, free sample, just bonus. But now, for this whole life, you can't see me. Say, avipakva kashayanam, because of some contamination. At that time, Narada was practically on the stage of bhava. Tears would roll down, hairs would stand on his end. He would go mad. But still, the Lord told him, avipakva kashayanam. You still have to get purified. And durdarshoham kuyoginam. And incomplete in service. Incomplete in service kuyoginam. Yogi means devotion, service. And kuyoginam means imperfect, incomplete service, and remove all of further contamination. And then in that purport, Prabhupada says, seeing the Lord and hearing the Lord is absolutely, there is no difference. Narada heard and he got pacified as much as he got pacified by seeing the Lord. And then in that purport he writes, the Lord is non-different from His name. The Lord is non-different from His devotional service. A pure devotee of the Lord realizes the Lord moment to moment in the devotional service. Because devotional service is non-different from the Lord. A very nice purport in that. And Narada is so blissful. He just engages, and in that very lifetime actually goes back. He becomes an eternal associate of the Lord. So a pure devotee of the Lord can manifest the Lord even in a place where nobody can see. Just like yesterday night, we were watching this movie, Jesus of Nazareth, almost like 12 o'clock. It is such a wonderful thing. And the moment we started it, with an incident where Jesus is giving a sermon. And he says, I have come to, you know, the dead stone tablets. He says that the dead stone tablets to make it alive. And people see it as a blasphemy. How dare you speak? 10 commandments of Moses, you call it dead stone? Yes, he says the stone is dead, but the writing is alive. And if you practice that writing, then that stone is alive. Otherwise, the stone is dead stone. Similarly, we find Srimad Bhagavatam, it will become a dead book. But a person who is person Bhagavat, when he comes and speaks, he brings it alive. That is parampara. Parampara means bringing the ancient scripture, living scriptures, bringing the ancient scriptures alive in today's, at making it accessible to us. That's what they are called, living scriptures. They are moving scriptures. Otherwise, it's a dead stone, it's a dead book. You see, Prabhupada has presented Bhagavatam. Before that, how many of us must have seen Srimad Bhagavatam? How many of us must have heard Srimad Bhagavat Sapta? So many were going on even before. But just we can't relate. We just couldn't relate. It is not for us. But when Prabhupada presented it, wherever he went and presented, that place became a holy place. 26 Second Avenue. God-forsaken place. God has not forsaken any place. But when you don't see, it's a God-forsaken place. Practically. But Prabhupada, when he spoke there, Srimad Bhagavatam, regular Fridays, Wednesdays, 3 days a week he would give classes. That place is actually the center of the universe of Hare Krishna movement. Really, because that's where he started his Bhagavat Katha. So, Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu. Because Srila Prabhupada carried the Lord in his heart, wherever it, that's why Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he didn't move from Gita Nagari. He said, he wanted also to show to the world. He had many purposes why he didn't come to Mayapur. He knew he's going to die within a few days. He could have flown to Mayapur. He could have flown to Vrindavan. He could have flown to any place, holy place, and left his body. But he said, Prabhupada has stepped here. And this, therefore, this place is holy. It is non-different. It's actually a holy place. For me, this is everything. And here I am serving. He says, I can go there. But here there are so many devotees coming and I am able to do some service. People who had practically left the movement are getting so much inspired, they are coming. Hundreds of them are coming and meeting. And I am able to serve at least in this stage. He said, for me this is holiest of all holy places. Even I think Dasharathi. And Dasharathi was accompanied by another person who was blinded. Kuresh. Kuresh, he was with Mahapurna. Mahapurna, when he was blinded, and Kuresh, they were walking, they were, before coming to that holy place of Kanchipuram, even before reaching, Kuresh says, just little more distance. You can leave your body there, it's a holy place. He said, no, I will leave here only. Let the whole world see. It doesn't matter. Not even, not that if you in the service of your spiritual master, if you're leaving your body somewhere, that's the holiest of all workplace, the holiest of all time, holiest of all situations. Prabhupada also never minded. He said, let me die fighting like Arjuna on the battlefield. Take me to London. There is one fellow, Dr. Sule. No, not doctor, Mr. Sule. He is working in something in Bombay. He came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital once. He is in charge of all kinds of disinfectants to clean the, you know, any kind of cleansing agents. He happened to come to our temple. He was giving a brahmachari class to the brahmacharis. Seminar on cleanliness. Sankirtan Prabhu had called him, he came. This man, he's not a devotee. He's not chanting 16 rounds or something like that. But he said he loves Prabhupada. He appreciates Prabhupada like anything. He appreciates his con. He said, when Prabhupada, the last time he went to Bhaktivedanta Manor, to London, he said, that is the first time I saw him. It was just skin and bones. Prabhupada somehow brought, he had practically no energy, he was just sitting like that. But when he was put on the Vyasasana, you know, he just, you know, and they did a Guru Puja. And everyone in the hall knew that this is the last Guru Puja that they will ever offer to their Guru Maharaj. And he knew, after that he will be gone, not only from London forever, but from this planet forever. So practically that was the last Guru Puja that these people were offering. The temple was absolutely packed. That's what he was telling. And many people went there. Many new people also came there. And he says, I am not exaggerating. He said the whole room was wet with tears of devotees. Nobody could actually sing the Guru Puja. And he said, actually, I didn't know who this person was. I knew he was a very great person and he has inspired so much. But he said, even I just couldn't. I just don't know what happened to me. He says, everyone, actually the room was wet with tears. So, anywhere Srila Prabhupada went and established. So, that is a holy place. In that service, sorry, the point that I was trying to make was, Prabhupada said, in that service to my Guru Maharaj, what he has asked me to preach, I can feel his presence. Somebody asked him, do you ever miss your spiritual master? He says, no. I'm never separated from him. It is a fact. It is a fact, whenever we get an opportunity, we should actually utilize that opportunity to associate, to talk or whatever. But the real connection, the very sweet connection and very, very overwhelming connection, true spiritual connection, is established in serving and knowing that this service is going to please him. There is also another thing that is just coming to my mind. When Narahari Sarkar's place we went in Mayapur, Jajigram, Shikhanda. There, his son or somebody, he performs all that kirtan, then he goes and makes an offering. Yeah, after he has left the body, he performs a big festival and takes the offering and offers it to Narahari Sarkar. His father? Raghunandan offers to Narahari Sarkar. And he goes there and sees that Narahari Sarkar is sitting on that asan where he has offered and he's actually eating. So, in knowing, just like I see many of Prabhupada's disciples, when they see some wonderful devotional service being performed anywhere,
they immediately become so happy. Says, this would please, if Prabhupada were to be here, he would be so pleased to see this. And they actually get that feeling of a connection. So yes, as whenever we get an opportunity, we should actually utilize. But at the same time, the real connection, the real, ultimately, why do we want to see? If you want to see him, we want to please him actually. Maybe give a report, maybe tell him that we have done this, and tell him that this. So ultimately, when we try to please him, then he sees. As I was telling, don't try to serve, but don't try to see, but serve in such a way that he wants to see. And I remember one time I was sitting upstairs in our Gopinath temple, Tulsi Garden, and I was chanting. And I saw two college boys near the Tulsi Garden somewhere and trying to, you know, peep down somewhere. I was looking at them this was around 9:30 at night. So I just called them over. I said, kya kar raha idhar? Nahi, Maharaj ka humko darshan lena. They're sitting up near the Tulsi Garden, and from there, the door was a little open. From there you can see actually Maharaj's room, Radhana Swami's room. So they are trying to. So I really got wild. And just spontaneously I just thought of this example. I said, do you think this is darshan? He says, this is the way to have darshan? I said, tomorrow morning when you go to the bathroom or toilet, I peep inside and have your darshan, how will you feel? I will have your darshan, you know. So this is nonsense. When the curtains are closed of the deities, we don't plug the curtain and have darshan. You can have darshan, you can walk inside and have darshan. But that's not darshan. Darshan means when the Lord agrees, yes, open the curtain, I want to give my darshan. He is giving his darshan. You don't take darshan, he has to give darshan. Darshan do, darshan do. He has to show himself. It's not that you say, I want to have your darshan. If I am not in a mood to see someone, if he comes also, I just don't care. The real darshan is when the Lord agrees, yes, I am in a mood, I am seated very nicely, yes, bolo. Kisko kya chahiye? Like when the king sits for darbar, he says, yes, anyone, I am ready to fulfill the desires of anyone. Chalo poochho. So I said, that is the way of darshan. This is not just peeping inside from top and thinking that I will have Maharaj's darshan. So, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirtha, not only they establish such places where we can see the Lord and experience the presence of the Lord. Actually, we can experience. The ultimate thing is not even seeing. Because as Mukunda was told, as Mukunda said, what's the use of seeing? Duryodhan saw you. Hiranyakashipu saw you. Ravana saw you. But because they had no devotion in their heart, even if they saw, they were just trying to harass the Lord or trouble the Lord, kill the Lord, envious of the Lord. The real thing is, many gives examples of many people who tried to serve and the Lord wanted to see. So that was a very nice meditation here. Tirthabhuta Swayam Vibho. To establish places where one can actually experience and see the Lord. That's the glory of these great devotees. So Srila Prabhupada has established, we are so fortunate that he has established a process, and wherever that process is followed, that becomes a holy place. Because his instructions are wherever properly followed, it becomes a holy place. One can experience actually the presence of the Lord. And what is the proof of the presence of the Lord, that you have actually experienced the Lord? The proof is paramam pavitram. Krishna is supremely pure. And if you come in contact with him, experience him, you feel purified. You feel sanctified. Our yesterday we were chanting in that Venudham, bamboo house. Suddenly all of a sudden Vraj Kishore Prabhu, he just was chanting and suddenly he came to me. And he said, Prabhu, shall I tell you something? I said, what? He said, every nook and corner of Panala we have walked. We have traversed and rubbed and worn out our feet and place also. Every time used to come with my friends for so much sense gratification. This Panala means place of sense gratification. Now I don't feel I have come to Panala. Though I have come to Panala, I don't think I have come to Panala. Because you have come to the real Panala. The place of Parashars. Japasthali, Tapasthali. And the place Pannaganalaya. Very nice, whatever. So, simply by Prabhupada writes a very nice thing here. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of the unalloyed service. Yeah. They are the glory of the Lord. They are in actual service of the Lord specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Vyasadeva heard and glorified. And wherever that hearing and chanting is going on, one can experience actually the presence of the Lord, and that place does become very holy. Unfortunately, rain has started, so not much scope for traveling around. So anyway, I just thought these are few thoughts I thought I can share with you here. I think we'll end it here and yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, by sitting here we can travel everywhere. So in 10 minutes we'll be having the first session. Sudama Prabhu will be doing the continuation of yesterday. The most important thing, he was talking about the objective and he was talking about the obstacles. Benefits and obstacles, and how to actually overcome the obstacles to achieve the